So, welcome to Forosin Noir, the monthly radio show on Radio Dreieckland produced by Forosin Noir. I am Virginio Fabian, and today we have a guest in our radio podcast. That's why we're broadcasting on English as well. Normally we try to translate everything into German in order to bring from the Portuguese-speaking community of Forhor a little bit to the people who don't understand any Portuguese, so we can have a bigger audience or another audience who is not able to understand Portuguese. Today we'll do it in English because our invitee speaks very good Portuguese, very good English, but unfortunately not so much German, right? Bienvenido. Bienvenido, Ricardo Ambrosio.
Thanks a lot.
Your German is not that good, right?
Not that good. I know very few words, but...
Maybe
not yet.
Maybe counting already works, because you are a dance teacher. For those who don't know you yet, I think most of the Forhor participants obviously know you, but maybe you can introduce yourself briefly in order to get as well the people along who has not had the opportunity to have classes with you yet.
Well, I moved to Europe 12 years ago. Searching more information about dance. I come from originally from the hip hop, and then I migrated to the. I met Forhor in the contemporary dance more or less at the same time, and I started to study both. And then from this point on, I needed more techniques. So I studied ballet, jazz, different techniques of contemporary, and then I came to Europe to do the university in Lisbon. Of the Escola Superior de Dança. And then already before the ending of the university, I started to work with professional companies in Portugal, and then after outside, like Holland, Belgium.
So you are originally from Rio de Janeiro, right? Your Carioca?
Yeah, it's kind of complicated.
Oh shit, now I messed with something.
I was born in Rio Grande do Sul, in Osório, but with 5 days of life I went to Rio de Janeiro, so I'm Carioca from roots, to be from the beginning of my life until 20 years old I was living there. So.
Okay, so I would say we count that. Yeah. It's the same with me. I'm not born in the village I rose up, but I was like 30 days old, I went there. Mm. So let's get to the point why we are talking today. Obviously, I think I have already talked to you once you gave the first workshop here. I was asking you a little bit about Forhor, what's the background and so on. But that was part of my discovery. I think that this part of Lampião and Cangaceiros we covered already a little bit. I think you were the first one mentioned Robin Hood, the Robin Hood of the Northeast, and this comparison or not. And you recommended to me the book Folie Ronco, which I read, which I'm really grateful that you recommended to me. But now we are talking today because you posted on the 19th of September a statement. Let's put it that way. A statement on Facebook where you criticized a lot of facts in the Forhor community in Europe, and you announced that you're going to step back as a teacher for a while at least. And because of this criticism you have on the European Forhor scene. There you say, okay, you are already working and teaching Forhor for 12 years, not as a main activity, but you became more active in Brussels when you moved to Brussels. It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Brussels, I moved 6 years ago.
6 years ago, okay.
But in the beginning, I was quite busy with a company that I was working with, and I really couldn't manage. And even the beginning of the movement here in Brussels, it started because of Sarah Collins reaching me, in the sense of the people really, and you know that she was talking to me, you know that it's really regular classes that can build up a community. And she said she thought she was able to start something for beginners, but she would like guidance and she wanted help. And man, she's, sorry the words, but she's a pain in the ass as a worker. So we worked a lot, some months, very intensive to make more firm all the didactic and pedagogy that she had for the basics. And she was great, great in that. It was really a process of teaching and learning by that. because it opened new doors as well, which was very good.
Okay, and this process, you moved there 6 years ago, and the process when you started together with her to build up the community was 2 or 3 years ago? Was that
2 years ago, if I'm not wrong, 2 or 3 years ago, exactly.
Okay, about that. So you organized as well the two festivals now in Brussels. I've been at the first one this year. I skipped, I wasn't able to come. But so you know the part of producing a festival, but as well teaching on various festivals all over Europe throughout the last years. And obviously you have the background in a further, in a broader artistic way in different dances as well, so you have a comparison. Maybe let's put it down, let's get to some of the statements you did, because like one of the reasons I desperately asked you for doing this interview is because people asked me, can you explain to us what Ricardo meant in his postings? And I said, I can guess, but I'm not really sure what he concretely means. So I will try to get you on the phone, on the line, oh, now on Skype, and ask you directly what you're referring to in this statement. I will try to get to some points I just wrote down for me. You write in your statement that for her, the culture of the Brazilian Northeast is very rich and very diverse as well, but it's not anything. Like, it's not... it's not, I say, beliebig whatever. In German. Yeah, it's not whatever. And the culture is mistreated. For her, it's not whatever. Yeah, a prostitution of our culture is happening. Could you elaborate that a little bit more? What you're actually referring to when you write this statement?
I think it passes a lot. It has many factors, to tell the truth. But we can talk about a couple of points. For me, for example, it's so rich culture-wise in variety, in formations, and it's not that, oh, there is the right and the wrong forró. Forró is a manifestation of popular culture, so it's not something totally codified, and it's not what I would like for it at all, but there is some hoot, some main characteristics that I think it's almost disrespectful to drop, to let aside. Other point is not just talking about the dance, I'm saying, about the dance, about the music, about the way of even selling it, of selling service on it. Like you have nowadays, you have masters, and when I say masters, really people that has so much knowledge on that, receiving I don't go for values and amounts here, but it's really ridiculous for a presentation or for a class that this person is giving, and normally with 20, 25 years of career. I feel really like a baby in this world because I just give class in the last 12 years. I'm a student still. I'm really a student, and I hope to be able to be a student for many years from these masters. But I see they having big difficulties of living off their profession because, okay, people want the fast food in that sense.
Do you refer in your statement, you refer mostly on the forró culture in Europe, or you include now as well in Brazil? Like if you talk about
well,
the masters.
In Brazil as well. I just think that in Europe, we are transforming this market so in something so big, and we have an structure that can afford to give better conditions to everybody, to the musicians, to the producers, and to the teachers, and for the public as well. But we need to come back to a main point. But this is a mistake that doesn't happen just in forró, happens everywhere. It's not because, I'm not saying about myself, giving general examples. It's not because I'm a good dancer that I will be a good teacher, that I will be a good choreographer, that I will be a good producer, that I will be a musician. No, you have people that are amazing teachers, but they don't shine that much when they do a presentation. And the other side, you have people that they are amazing performers. Just their presence on stage is already enough to swallow the whole thing. But they cannot teach. Yeah.
There are a couple of things to drop in already. I think we're going to get later to the question of professionals, what it means to be a professional and so on. But I wanted to dig in again first to the point where you said there are some roots in Fohon which are a pity to drop. So I think I've mentioned to you the interview with Raphael Barré as well, we did on this show, and I asked him as well, what is Fohon? And I was talking more about music in this sense. I was asking him as well, think about the dance, but in the music we could say, okay, there is the Trio Formado from from Luis Gonzaga with the triangle, zabumba and accordion. This should be part of a Fohon band, you can extend it and so on. This discussion is already done, but let's talk about dance. We have a lot of, not a lot, but we have some people as well here in Freiburg dancing improvisation, like having improvisation dance, and they dance as well while we're dancing Fohon. Most of them know that they're doing their stuff to Fohon music and they don't think that's Fohon. But you have a lot of you have a diversity here because people don't have the cultural background that Brazilians have. Like most of them, when they start to go to Fohon, they don't know anything about it. They've heard it the first time probably, and then they start to dance and start to move. And I would like to hear what would be the essentials of Fohon you see at risk.
That's the thing. I went fortunately many times to Freiburg to give classes and to join parties there, and I know the public and I know this mix. And sorry, I don't think it's wrong. It's the public. They are the people that are going to a ball to dance. When I talk about essentials that shouldn't be dropped, I'm talking about the professionals, the teaching, you know. And there is things that's, you can, because you think something, you shouldn't say that out loud as a big truth. For example, I give you a fast example. We know that we have always this question about the counts. How to count the music while you are teaching.
Yeah.
One and two, three and four, one and two, one and two, one, two, three, one, two, three. And I even saw already in some classrooms, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So there is okay. And this was from a very nice talk that I had with Fabio Reis. That, you know, I have my pedagogy. I can explain you why I count in the way that I count. And someone can count however they want to count, but they need to acknowledge what they are counting, what they are teaching, what they are showing. That's the thing. As you said, the people that make contact improvisation, they melt these into the Fohon. But they know that one thing is one thing and other thing is other thing. And for their fun, they do and they mix both. And I think it's nothing more healthy that if this brings pleasure for them. But as a professional, as a teacher, I need to tell the students what is what. I cannot just drop a movement that is not a movement, a way of reading, of interpreting the music that's not directly related to Fohon, without saying that's not directly related to Fohon. For example, we have this movement that's the wave that's stolen from the zouk. And there's many people that does that. But there's ways and ways of doing it. There's different bodies to make the same movement. And that's what I see, that okay, we are stealers, the Fohon dancers, because Fohon it wasn't a dance. I always joke saying that Fohon was two to one side, two to the other, and how to polish your belt buckle is how once Luis Gonzaga said. So in the 90s and a bit before, we started to steal from different ballroom dance to incorporate to Fohon, but always with this image that was said in the beginning, that we are the feet from the indigenous, the hips from the slaves, and the upper body of the European ballroom dance.
That's a nice picture. Yeah, I've heard more from the music-wise, the tambores from Africa and so on.
Yeah, there is amazing mix, and even people say, no, but this is really from the trio, Zabumba, Triangle, and Sanfona are really the roots. I heard once, for me, it's very tricky to, but I heard like Dominguinhos is not roots because he incorporate other instruments. Come on.
Dominguinhos is not roots.
You know, like...
Whatever, like whatever you call roots, but if Dominguinhos is not this part, is not Forró, is not what our Forró is, then
it's I'm... like essence. The person can even sing a cappella and make an amazing Forró. It's about essence. It's about way of vibrating. It's way of giving the musicality. And it's the same thing with the dance. It's not about I cannot do this, I cannot do that, but it's how is my body understanding and relating to the music that it makes for her or not.
Okay, that is really hard to learn or hard to understand for people who are just learning.
Exactly.
For a couple of months, for a couple of years. For me, that's even hard. I mean, and I dance a lot for her. Not that I'm knowing a lot, but I dance a lot for her. But I'm getting there. So that is, as you said, it's more the professionals who need to know what they're talking about. And
exactly. And that's the thing. My critic, it extends into the whole, to the whole public in different levels. And this, what is for her, it's not something for the public, because the public is there some to enjoy. And that's the thing. The responsibility, how they understand and how they enjoy, it comes a lot from the teachers. How do we make the public understand and enjoy as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go for the sort of definition of what is a professional for you, because I've been talking as well like with other dance teachers, and it is difficult, or it's not that clear for a lot of participants of the Forró community, I think. Who are the real professionals and who are not? If you're saying with 12 years of dance experience, you're still a learner, I think we don't have a lot of people who have more dance experience teaching Forró on the festivals in Europe than 12 years. Or am I wrong?
There is, but not many, yeah, not many. But I think that's one of the main postures of a teacher that is lacking nowadays. That we should be always students as well, in the sense of recycling ourselves. It's okay that I don't like one or other style. Maybe I don't, I cannot, I'm not fully engaged in that style, but I need to touch it. I need to explain it. I need to know how to explain at least the basics. I need at least to try to understand. And not because I don't understand it, make it not valid.
Mm-hmm. We have been sitting together today and have been looking a little bit what for us means a professional teacher, because as you know, I'm as well a producer. I'm quite involved in the organization of Forró in Freiburg, and we are working a lot with a lot of different teachers, and we thought about different criterias. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that helps us now a lot in the sense, but I still wanted to share it. It was more easy for us to do a not to do list than a to do list, or to say who is a teacher. It was easier to say as what in our case, in our, from our point of view, a professional teacher should not do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe we can just gather up some of these points and then see if we all agree on them, or if you have something to add to the list. I would actually like to,
For example, there's someone that reposted my post, and I saw a very pertinent comment about it, that when I talk about professions, not that the person needs to have a university in dance and this and that, it helps a lot, but it's not about that at all. It's about professionalism. It's about posture, you know, how to take the responsibility on top of yourself. And how much they dedicate to improve themselves and to make out of that work.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, you are Yeah, you're not communicating your thoughts as the total truth, but as your point of view. You understand it. You're still learning.
Mm-hmm.
And this reflects as well. If you have really this attitude, this affects as well how you treat others. Like if that is your divine attitude, you're not gonna be talking about other teachers or other whatever dancing styles in a bad way, because you just understand that it's just a different flavor of the same.
Yeah, and it's what I started to say. It's for how it's a manifestation of popular culture. You can even put some rules in the in manifestations of popular culture to develop pedagogies and to try to teach it. But there is always this ephemeral thing of the art, of the momentum, of the gathering of the popular, that is, you cannot really teach. It's something that happens spontaneous. And it will always have something about that. But it's knowing from where it comes that this manifestation becomes original and pertinent to the movement, and not, okay, I just decided to do something else on for her music, you know?
Yeah, we were gathering a lot more points. We wanted teachers or professionals to do or not to do in the classes. And I just name a few in order to have that as well announced. I have that thought, and maybe we can debate about the points. Like what we saw, it's quite a part of our not to do list is if teachers are obviously not really prepared for the class. That means they were not announcing the topic beforehand, and nobody could really choose. It's just because we didn't know the topic before, or they announce the topic and they don't keep to the topic. They do something totally different. Mm-hmm. They are looking for adequate songs during the workshop. They are not prepared with their equipment. They do not put any effort into organizing a translator if they don't speak a language which you can hold the class in. Or
and this is really a pity, because I saw some classes that they lose a lot of good information, vital information, I would say, because of this. You don't talk with the translator before, so some terms get lost in the middle, and they are really fundamental for what wants to be taught.
Yeah, if you're here on a long term as well, obviously, it's a good move or a professional move. You understand this and you try to learn a language you could teach in. I mean, it doesn't need to be German, which is supposed to be one of the complicated languages to learn, but it's quite likely that English will help a lot in Europe. Another thing which we are sort of a little bit annoyed of is teachers do not take the level which should be taught into consideration. Or they have the feeling that they need to bring everyone along in the class so everyone understands it. But this means dropping down the level all the time. Like for us, we would really like to have teachers as well continue, even though not all the class is getting it. And as well, sometimes maybe telling people to leave, to go to another level if it's a big festival.
Yeah. I agree completely. But I think this is complicated at the point of, for example, you what is beginners, what is intermediate, what's advanced? You know, for example, in my advanced class, I wouldn't probably teach many difficult figures. I would focus in the dance, in the nuances, in the rhythmicality, in the work of improvisation and solo, which for some people, it's not interesting. They think that, okay, advanced class needs to have a lot of knots and complicated figures, which I think that was, okay, it was somehow a mistake of us as a teachers in the raising of the movement, to make understand that, okay, the most important is how many turns and complicated knots we make, instead of like, I'm dancing with the music, I'm reverbing with the music and with the other body at the same time.
Yeah, maybe that switched a little bit. Maybe it switched in general, this focus, from artistic movements to musicality, or it's just the development I see around us, about my friends I'm dancing with here. But I think we are working on that, and I totally agree that an advanced class is not not counting, like not having as many turns as possible, or as many, or just make the figure longer you teach. That doesn't help at all. That's not the point. What I wanted to say, but this I think this truth to say students as well, I'm quite sure this is not the adequate level for you. This is really what I really like. For example, I was in Sao Paulo at the Remeleshu, and I was participating in the class there. And even though Evandro knew me already, he just told me, okay, you're going to these two teachers, you're going to dance with them, and then they're going to tell you which level you are. It's not that you go there and choose which level you're going. Yeah. There was someone deciding, and it was, this is the authority. If you don't agree with that, they think that's the wrong place for you. But that's how they teach there. And I really like that.
No, and this is a two-way thing. It's from responsibility from the teacher to download the level, but of the participants to help in that sense as well. Because I remember, if I'm not wrong, in the second or third year of Aikbon Paris, they were the people had a cup of dance, and a cup of teachers and instructors gave the levels for the participants. But then you see participants not respecting that as well.
Okay, that is really sad. That's actually sad. Because it is a... I think several reasons for the fact, or for the tendency, that experienced teachers are not taking part a lot in workshops anymore, but just go to festivals, to go to the parties. But I think it's as well, one of the reasons is that levels are totally mixed up.
But that's the thing. I think it's hard to really be fixed in these levels. But I think everybody would win much more. And believe me, there is the responsibility of the teachers of not lowering the level. But there is the responsibility from the public to follow the rules. If you don't know which level is yours, ask to your teacher. Your teacher will tell you, okay, go to this level, go to that level. And believe, because this is the person that is teaching you, is the person that's watching you the whole year.
Yeah, true. To continue in our little list, we thought as well, but it's sort of obviously you should respect the participants of your class. You're not sort of hitting on them during the class or something. No sexist comments or jokes, but they are obvious. Yeah, you should think about the debate before and see who is actually there and which you might offend. One thing we are struggling as well with is, or it's an example for that actually, a sexist comment if girls decide to lead or men decide to follow. It's almost all the time that there are some disrespectful comments involved in this, or people just think it's not the right way and try to not force with force girls into being led, but not accepting really that that's the decision of them now. And yeah, at least from my point of view, it's quite important that everyone can decide what role he or she wants to do dance.
I agree too, but I have to say that this is something that needs to be understood. What's the need of the student, in the sense of like, okay, why do you want to learn how to lead? For example, for a girl, do you want to learn how to lead, but you want to be a follower as well? And for the guy, both things. Because I think there is a right moment, pedagogical wise, there is a right moment to introduce that for the students. For example, I think from the beginning, it's tricky, but this is my personal methodology and pedagogy. I think I by experience, I had some difficulties. I would say, if you talking level-wise, how I divide my levels, I would say by end of intermediate one, intermediate two, I would start to make these changes. Because it's important, because doing the other side, you get to know what is need, what is missing, what's lacking in your guidance, or sometimes where you should relax as a follower to be able to read this conduction.
Yeah, but obviously I agree in that it doesn't, pedagogically might not be always the best time to do this, but I would like to be on a point where actually someone could go to a Fauxhall and say, okay, I get to know this dance and I decide from the beginning that I as a guy want to follow, I want to learn this dance following. And then maybe eventually I will switch and be interested in the other part. But it's just like, I don't want the biological gender to define your role from the beginning and you can't get out of that.
Totally true. As I told you, as I just said, I think it's really about knowing the needs and the... and what the student want. I don't want to the girl or the man arrive in my class. Does he, if he tell me, no, I want to learn as a follower, he learns as a follower. And then when I find, okay, now it's time that you can learn as a guiding as well, if your main focus is a follower, mm-hmm. why not? But it's a decision of the public. This, for me at least, for sure. Mm-hmm. This is a much more complicated and unfortunately, question in our society that's really these the gender subject and sexuality, how you and even further, and it just as an option, if I want to learn something another way, this idea of boys don't play with dolls, you know, and girls don't play soccer, why?
Yeah, I agree. It's a thing of the general society, and we can just work and people who are joining our community grow up in this society, so we have to struggle as well as the others in the rest of the society do as well. We can't create our haven just for us, but we are just being conscious about it and talking about it, I think, helps us really a lot.
It's good to have conscious about that, and really, let's see if step by step we don't create our own heaven, no?
Yeah, let's work on it. One related thing we had on our list was as well, if teachers are teaching basically just for the leaders, because in most of the movements, it's quite important what the leader does. And I've participated as well in workshops as a follower, and sometimes it's really just you do the basics and then there's maybe a turn, but it's not most of the time it's not a big thing. So I think there are ways you can make workshops more interesting for followers, and not everyone is taking that in consideration.
For sure, but these, unfortunately, we have this thing that we arrive again in the professionalism and in this a bit sexist thing, because we see a lot about teachers and their partners, but why they are not two teachers in the classroom? This is I have to say that was the best comment that I had in the last years, was the last months that I started to, the last months, the last years that I started to work with Sarah Collins. And we started more and more and more to share the teaching role. And it's been great. First of all, a couple of years before, I noticed that I was teaching mainly for the leaders and forgetting a bit the followers. Then I really trying to improve in the sense of going, researching, asking, doing more classes as a follower. And it helped me a lot. It helped me really a lot, because it's really forgotten, unfortunately. And then in the class that you have a teacher and the partner sometimes doesn't say much, which is a pity that it's need, it's really need. I see that there's a lot of followers that feel forgotten in the classes, totally forgotten. But I think it's in the part of the process as a teacher, of growing as a teacher. But it's a very important call at the calling of attention to all the teachers nowadays, to don't forget none of the sides. Guiding, if you are a woman, don't forget the guiding. And if you are a follower, if you are a man, don't forget the followers. Both are there to learn, and both have things to learn, because the followers are being forgotten. Loads of addictions, bad addictions in their dance are coming up.
I didn't get the bad addictions part.
Because they are not corrected. So they just, okay, I'm doing the second, for example, the second base or the abre fecha. You just do this and you follow. And then the ankles are not corrected, that they should keep in the same line from the foot to the shin and to the toe and to the knees. They start to roll back and tendinites come up. They start to open too much the base, sharing the weight and not being able to keep one fixed point, one fixed axis.
Okay, so you basically bad sort of habits, or you get used to do it sort of wrong, or things which might not help you in the future.
Exactly, because of the repetition, because you are following class that people forget you and forget to correct these bad habits.
Yeah, true. We have one or two other points on our little list. One is being aware of the time as well, like how much of your class already passed and are you going to finish up and really have a finishing as well. Mm-hmm. And being on time as well, but that does not always, is not always sort of culpa do professor, like it's not always guilt of the teacher. Sometimes all the schedule is back, yeah. And then it's not bad. And
just coming back to the point that you said about having a finish, I think this comes from the beginning, planning the class. You know, it's basic for a teacher to plan the class. It doesn't mean that exactly what you plan is what you do, because sometimes you are surprised by the positive or by the negative level of the class, and sometimes you can push it further, or sometimes you see the whole class is not at the level where it should be. Boom! Then you need to find a way that's okay. How can I deal with that? But for sure, you need to plan the class, know the subject, know the exercise, know that one exercise builds up for the other, not give random things.
Yeah. Totally agree. And we had one point where we have not been able to put it as a not to do, so we need to do it as a what we wish teachers to do. And we really liked it when, for example, now Felipe and Mari and so Miguel tried to dance during the class with all the students. So most of the time, for example, Felipe was in the middle of the circle and all the followers passed through him as well, and Mari was dancing with all the leaders while doing the exercises. Because that helped, I think, the followers to understand how the movement actually should be. Maybe everyone is doing it sort of wrong. And Mari could correct as well all the leaders if the leading was somehow strange or whatever. So that is not always possible, especially in huge classes on festival. But that would be a thing which we thought is really helpful.
I think is very helpful. But it depends a lot of the size of the classes. Now, otherwise, you make one exercise during the whole class when you have 50, 60 people, sometimes 80 people in a classroom. But I think when the class is towards a movement or a figure, specific figure, and you have a number that you can do, I think it's very, very helpful. I saw this in their class in Amsterdam, if I'm not wrong. And it was one of the big positive points that me and Sarah were exactly talking about that other time.
So our list of not to do's and last to do is sort of over. I don't know if you would like to compliment one of to the list, or we should.
I think attitude in the sense of professional responsibility. You know, you are in time for your flights, to showing up in the event in the time of being presented as a teacher, unless your flight arrives late or something arrives late. Otherwise, you're from the beginning to be presented. You are available if some things need. How to behave towards the students. Being available to dance with them, to talk with them, to take doubts. For sure, don't give your private phone number to have 4 o'clock in the morning someone calling you, I forgot about this movement. But always when it's possible, be available and be for the student. You know, when you go to do a presentation, preferably prepare it, even if it's improvisation, to be a structured improvisation, to be something around something. Just, okay, I'm going to stop these 300 people that's here having fun to just look at my beautiful figure dancing as I dance with anyone in the salon, you know. But this is a lot about the conditions that are given for the teachers as well. We need time for that. And you need to rehearse hours, ideally months, to prepare a good presentation. And then, for example, when you do that and when you are paid, very underpaid, you get is a big effort, professional wise, it's a big effort that's not compensated as it should be. But the whole thing about payments is very tricky in the Fohol world.
Yeah, but we would like to get to that in a second. Just we completed. We found one other point. Being at the class in a condition where you're able to do the class, not meaning not drunk or not too tired because you have been partying and being drunk at night before. So
that would be one of the things we. This is about. what I talk about posture. You know, your private life is your private life, but when you are in an event like that. Sorry, it's not your private life. It's you as a figure, as a teacher, as an example, as someone, whatever, that's the thing, whatever you say, whatever you do, influence how people see the whole movement and how people see you as a teacher, as a person as well.
Yeah. So if you don't have to add anything more to the list right now, we can obviously do that as well later. We're going to post this and we try to formulate as well in the correct English and put it on the website. And I would really like to move now as well to this money issue as you raised. You are writing in your post, people or masters are sort of dying in poverty or maybe leaving the profession as a Fohol teacher because it is totally underpaid. You just mentioned as well the presentations, which are, I know from tango communities, it's as well presentations are paid. That is, at least in our case, not the standard. Like we're not doing that in general.
But that's the thing. They are paid because they have quality and they have work on that. And we know that not every presentation in Fohol follows that rule.
Yeah. There's as well a little bit someone formulated as the chicken egg problem. If you have not so good quality workshops, you're probably not going to have you're not going to have really good payment. And if you pay a lot, but the workshops are not getting better, then you don't know where you're getting. And in general, as you know as well as a producer from events like Aikibo in Brussels, we have this issue that we have teachers who studied a lot and have are really professionals, and then you have teachers who actually respond to a ask of their community or maybe some teachers who as well teach because they think it's really nice to be called a teacher. And it is hard to really justify, you said as well, it's not about a certificate or something. There is no syndicate of Fohol dancers who decides who is actually a professor or a teacher and who is not, who is just an instructor. And I don't think the playing around with words would help a lot as well in this sense. But you have this problem of having underpaid teachers, but you want to have as well Fohol and an event which is accessible to a lot of people. And the same counts in the fact for musicians and producers as well. Most of the producers, I think, working voluntarily. For me, that's still sort of a big problem, how to solve this issue.
It is a big problem because we're still working in the improvisation, you know, and we have structures that nowadays are completely able to program in advance. Like, I can tell you that since I put the post in the last week, week and a half, I received at least 3 or 4 bands that sent me, hey, we are going now, next month, which starts in 1 week, to Europe. Can we program a show? And they know that they can do it because we don't produce the things in advance. Not producing the things in advance, we need to pay much more for everything. It's just a matter of planning. You can make the things much cheaper and much better for everybody, for the bands, for instead of making the cheap option, we have a sanfoniero here, we have a guy that plays a bumba, let's make it how we call arrumadinho, and it's okay. Now, you can bring bands and you can bring big bands, but it's a matter of planning in advance. An event shouldn't be planned 3-4 months before. It starts as soon as it finishes, you know?
But from my point of a producer, I can assure you that our concert we just had 2 weeks ago with Diego Oliveira and Conterraneos, we booked the room 3 months ago. We had the bands in June already. It's still, we are losing a couple of hundred euros each concert. If we want to pay a sort of decent cachet for the bands, we want, like, I don't do any concerts anymore where I just put a little sound system I found somewhere, I get together somehow, and then...
I've been there. I know very well how...
Yeah, I want to have it professional. I want to have a good sound system. I want to have a guy who mixes the right way in order to have a good experience for everyone, as for the musicians, as the people who come there. And we had the discussion in our group as well. Could we raise the prices? A lot of people said that it would be impossible. Less people would come. And the count, yeah, you have to really calculate. If you raise the price, you have less people coming. Then the sum is not bigger. So I think it is really hard, especially with bands.
I understand that we have the same issues here in Brussels. But it's a matter, for example, how the public is raised. Unfortunately, nowadays we have people paying to go by bus and wanting to a limousine waiting for them. This is tricky. You know, you need, when you talk about expensive, you need to think about how much you are paying and what you are getting for that. If I pay, giving a stupid example, if I pay a lot for a jacket that will last me 10 years, it's much more worth than each year I need to buy one cheap. If I pay for a concert, a bit more, but I know that will be an amazing concert and I will remember for the rest of my life, I prefer to pay for this than every week go for a different concert. So maybe it's not okay, let's make just events for elite. No, not at all. For how it's popular, it needs to keep popular. But we need to make events and events. We need to focus our efforts, and when I say efforts, is work-wise, money-wise, in different ways. And organize ourselves in different ways, because if you are, how we call it here, a SBL, a non-profit organization, you can get support from different organizations. It's about starting to work professional-wise in that level. Start to get the right support, not like, okay, let's take everything on the chest and make this for love and for her. Yes, if you do it for love and for her, let's make that everybody has better conditions to work. Musicians, they are better paid, they have more time to rehearse. Teachers, they have time to invest on themselves instead of running to, okay, I go 3 months to Europe, I do most workshops as I can, I come back to Brazil, I keep working like hell, and I don't have time to recycle myself, to think, to make a different performance. I think it's really, I have a bit this, sorry to make this, I know that's a German way of thinking, of planning in advance. You said 3-4 months. 3-4 months sometimes is few for the size of the event. We need to plan with almost a year, have the agenda closed with almost a year. almost always with a small space for improvisations, because there is opportunities that just pop out in the moment, and it's good to take them. But it's a matter of planning, professional-wise, that, okay, fortunately, the next date that I have, that you have, that people reach you, oh, I'm going next week. Ah, it's amazing, but sorry, we have our agenda closed the next 6 months.
Yeah, I understand where you're going to. I'm not quite convinced that it will generate the savings that we could really make life better for the professionals, or that it's enough. I think it's complementary. That needs to be done. It's mm-hmm. lacking maybe in other cities more than in others. Mm-hmm. But the raising of the community, I think that is a really valuable point you were doing there. And it is like, we are always doing our feedback formulas. When we do a big event, we always write to all the participants an email and saying, okay, could you please tell us what did you like in our event? What could we improve? And so on and so on. And I'm not sure if all the participants really value, understand what effort you put in there and what cool things you organized for them. In comparison to other events, I don't know if that's as well with professionals.
I hope they do, because at least when I receive the feedback list, it's one tool of improving as a teacher as well, and for the event is a tool of improving as well. So it's very good to hear that, oh, his class was great, amazing. But no, point the finger wherever you need to point. It's good. If we don't need, we won't take it. If you are professional, you don't take it personal. You take it you analyze it in a way that you can improve that point.
Yeah, I'm just do some observations I had. I was dancing in dance communities who have been there for a long time already, and they were dancing to music. They have really good dancers. And they were dancing to shuffle music. There was a folder and there was random music playing. There could be whatever. Plays a shot, then a rastape, then two rastapes, because shuffle just threw out that. Like, there was, what I want to say is, there was no one who valued a good selection of music. Someone who thought about, okay, which song we should play, when, what, how, a dynamic about the evening we want to create or something. It was not so much a value for them. And the same, yeah, maybe that the similar things goes with bands and teachers. Maybe some people just want to learn a figure, and that's what and then they're fine, then they're happy. If a professional teacher sees a posture and corrects them on things they are doing wrong, and which really helped them on the long run or helped them as well. It's maybe for them, it's, oh God, I learned sort of nothing. In the other class, I had a new figure, and now I just know what I'm doing wrong. And you know what I mean? People, I don't think if it's so easy to make them understand what's really valuable.
But these, I think it's for sure something about the person, the student itself, that needs to wait what he wants. If you want to make complicated things with your arms, go for juggling, you know? It will be much more complicated. Here we are teaching, doing a dance. It's about how two bodies connected, how these two bodies connect and relate to a music. It's much bigger than that. So be ready to don't get ready. Don't learn just figures, just how I do with my arm, where do I put my leg. Don't learn to dance by yourself. But this comes a lot because of how it's taught. It's most of the class, the focus is the figure. Now I'm saying that, okay, we don't teach figures anymore. No, we can teach. But the aim, the goal is not the figure. The goal is the, at least in my case, how I structure my class, the goal is to acquire the abilities and the skills that this figure needs. Balance, how do I perceive the axis of the other? How do we relate with the music? This is why a teacher is there. A teacher is there to teach you to dance. If you want to learn just figures and throw around, I don't know. It could be techno playing as well. It doesn't make difference, you know.
Now, a couple of days after you wrote your comment, I think Terha from For Hodge Domingo in Stuttgart announced that he is going to ask all the teachers of Fahor to give in a CV, some pictures, and I don't know, maybe a link to a video or something. I'm not sure what the requirements actually were. And then make a voting on the teachers. So basically he said, I'm doing this now for 10 years. I don't need to choose for you anymore who is going to teach. Let's let the public decide. What do you think about this experience, and what do you think where it's going to go?
I had a talk with him in Amsterdam. I think it's an option that he's taking, and I see why he's taking this option. I'm curious to see how will be the results. I hope that it does what he aims, that is bring people together to let the politics aside and put everybody together towards one thing, one same thing. My biggest fear I shared with him is that, you know, it's a big festival, and it is important for many professionals to be there. And it's good that everyone can allow yourself, but it shouldn't be a big brother. It should be a meeting of professionals teaching people about our beautiful culture and how to dance it. So I really hope that the public has the open eyes to teach wisely, not the nice friend and the nice guy or the nice girl and the people who has more likes on YouTube, but that they choose the real and good teachers, people that will give them and will lead them into a good class, into a good experience, to gonna teach them something.
I hope so too. I'm curious as well. I've actually just discovered it today. I haven't seen the posting before Amsterdam. We have been talking before as well when we met for this interview and we were fixing the dates and stuff. It's one thing from my point of view, and what I try to help with this podcast is raising a discussion and bringing the debate of for our community more or less together, let's exchange arguments and explain your posting as well. And as I said, people were asking me what you actually meant. I hope this became clearer now. Your answer was, okay, discussion is one thing, but actually what we need is action. We need to change something.
Yes, we need.
So I'll let the floor for you. Like, we need to change something, and I'm really happy to help in the change that is needed. I think we need to
talk, but not just talk. We need to sit the responsibles in the table. You know, we need to sit the main teachers that are, or the all the teachers, to talk together. It's not about saying, my way is correct, your way is correct. No, each one has your own way, and then people can share things. And sometimes one gonna take something from one. But it's more to see, how do we organize? How do we organize ourselves? Because it's totally okay that I make my market, someone else do their own marketing. But as long as I don't step in anyone and I don't step in the way of anyone, this is lack of professionalism, and it's happening, and it's happening a lot. So I think that's the minimum that the professionals should do, is to sit together, putting all their difference, and sorry friends to say, your ego aside, and sit to talk for a common good for themselves and for the public and for the bands. I think one good step for that would be really to make a syndicate around that.
A syndicate, un sindicato, a union.
That, a union, exactly.
So in order to create a space to exchange or...
Space of exchanging and even partnerships. Why the person that... What, someone that knows, okay, I want to go to all the German festivals. He can buy a ticket with discount that give him the all the festivals or an annual thing. This will generate more income because he can. We're gonna bring more people like that, and you start to be able to sponsor better bands, give better conditions for teachers. We're gonna have money in advance to book things before, to have the flights and everything cheaper. You don't need the money of this to juggle for the money of that. It's as I said before, and believe me, I'm director of a company in the last 4 years. It's a matter of organization. We work 4 years without governmental subvention. And we do at least one or two artistic projects a year, plus a festival that this year had 200 people in Portugal. We're starting an educational program now of 8 months. And everything by how do we plan the things.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really curious for this idea. We had a little exchange on the Fohol camp when... Which is I just think now, on the festivals you have a lot of teachers together, but time is scarce. People barely have time to sleep if you go to the parties.
Exactly, yeah.
Then you need to teach, obviously. There's not real time for that. So in the Fohol camp, we had a little more time because, yeah, you have more time together. You don't have any traveling. All people sleep on the same place. So Rodolfo was actually trying to propose an exchange about the counting issue in this case. But it was more about how to teach in Europe to Fohol, like how people are understanding dance, how they understand body movements and so on. So that was one attempt to do that. I'm really curious to work further on this level, on this idea of, I don't know if a European Union, like a union on a European level, really helps in that way. But creating a space will be the first place.
And, yes, and that's the thing. There is space and there is time. And in my point of view, producers and teachers that want a step forward in quality for themselves and for the public. Okay, we know everybody's very busy, yes, but we need to make time for that. I'm off.
Okay, so let's leave it there. Let's try to create this space and exchange about how can we cooperate and build up Fohol together and make better working conditions for all of the professionals, being it teachers, producers, musicians and everyone who is important for this beautiful movement.
So
thanks a lot, Ricardo Ambrosio, for this explanations and this ideas as well. I hope we'll see each other again soon and can develop that further, and hope we will have a lot of allies on our way going there.
I hope so.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.